Welcome to the full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:11 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is April 26th, and today it was a relatively important day for a number of stocks, particularly in the mega cap technology sector. But I thought I would start off by looking at Visa, because in many respects, Visa is a pipeline company. It's a transaction-based business model, and it broke out to new all-time highs in here today, and this remains one of the more consistent trends anywhere. It has found support in the region of the trend mean on successive occasions over the course of almost a decade. And despite the uptick in volatility that we've seen on a significant number of shares, Visa has been a stalwart in this market, and it is now among the first to break up and out of this ranging phase. The fact that it is a transaction-based business is also positive for companies like Amazon, considering that if it's a transaction-based business and it's doing well, then that means people are spending money. Well, Amazon reported just now, and it was about $1 billion ahead of where analysts were expecting it in terms of revenue. The share has so far held the progression of high reaction lows, and it has found support in the region of $1,400 over the course of the last 2 days. So this is so far reasonably encouraging. And when we look at the Nasdaq 100, we're presented with a pretty similar pattern, that it is finding support in the region of the trend mean. This is the third occasion on which it has done so, and so far it is holding this progression of higher reaction lows. Well, this is about the most, I guess, the best possible scenario that we might have envisaged, considering that we did have accelerating trends back in January, that we were prone to seeing a corrective phase. So far, this corrective phase has been confined to a process of mean reversion, and it's not yet over. We're still in a choppy environment, but there is still evidence that people are buying the dips. And when we look at the VIX index, it was in negative territory in here today. Now, something I've reiterated in the past is that when we do get these spikes up towards 50, that it does take time for the volatility index to come back down to depressed levels, and that's certainly what we're seeing right now. So we are still in a rather choppy environment, but so far this has been confined to a ranging consolidation, and that's a reasonably sanguine, I think, attitude from investors, despite the uptick in rhetoric that we are in a much deeper corrective phase. Now, that's not an unsubstantiated risk, of course, considering that we did have a particularly consistent advance all the way from 2016 to 2018. But in order to lend it credence, then we would need to see the progression of higher reaction lows broken. And when I'm talking about that, I mean the lows up from the nadir that we saw in early February. Most particularly for the S&P 500, a sustained move below 2,500, I think, would be really required to question the overall upward bias. This, so far, I think the closest analog we have is for the consolidation that we had in 2015. And what that suggests is that there is still potential for additional volatility, that we are currently on the upswing, but there is a fair deal of overhead resistance at various levels for the S&P 500, whereas the Nasdaq doesn't have quite as much overhead resistance. Now, when we look at other large cap companies, for example, Microsoft was reporting in here today as well, and it has bounced pretty emphatically from the $90 area, and this also has held this progression of higher reaction lows. It's also emblematic of the kinds of companies that have adopted subscription models, and Cisco is another one of those. It has been on a rather steep recovery trajectory over the course of the last 6 months, and this corrective phase on the broader market has not derailed that. Then, when we look at the semiconductors index, it is now right in the region of the trend mean, and we're seeing the first evidence of it beginning to find support. and it had pulled back rather sharply over the previous seven sessions. So this is exactly where support needed to start to come back. Then when we look at the currency markets, the dollar index has been rallying in no uncertain terms. This is the really the first clear upward dynamic we've seen since all the way back in October. But this is a rather different scenario because the currency had been rallying pretty persistently for the month up to that, and there was something of an exhaustion rally as it got all the way up to the trend mean. Whereas on this occasion it had been largely inert, and now it's breaking up out of its range and closing this overextension relative to the trend mean. Well, of course, the big question everyone's going to be asking is the extent to which it can extend this rally and push back above the trend mean, and most particularly break the progression of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since January of last year. That's going to be of particular interest to European and Japanese investors. Well, Mario Draghi was talking in here today, and he was rather careful not to make any big statements about the outlook for quantitative easing in the Eurozone. The recent weakness of the euro has acted as something of a tailwind for European markets. The relative strength of the currency is definitely something that the ECB has been talking about. They're obviously not particularly happy with it, but there's not a great deal they can do about it either. They are, however, tapering their quantitative easing. Now, what that of course means is that the size of the balance sheet is still increasing, but it isn't going up at nearly the same pace. And it's likely to continue advancing until September. But then when we look at what's going on in Japan, then we're presented with a rather interesting chart here. And the pace of the advance, if we look at it with some perspective and just look at it on a multi-year basis, we can see that the pace of the advance is moderating. And again, when we look at the broader environment for central banks, well, we know that the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its accommodation, and that has thrown the focus of attention onto the actions of the ECB and the Bank of Japan. The total assets on central bank balance sheets have been contracting, down 180 billion over just the last week. And there is a very short-term, I think, corrective phase underway in terms of the size of those balance sheets. This is not larger than anything we saw previously. There was a similar contraction back in September and October. But what it does mean is that people will be looking at what the ECB and the Bank of Japan are going to do, because China is, should we say, neutral right now. The US is contracting its balance sheet, so everyone will be watching what Europe and the Bank of Japan are going to do. And Draghi was quite adamant in here today, saying in no uncertain terms that additional, and I think it was more, excuse me, continued accommodation is required for the Eurozone economy. Then when we look at what's going on in Japan, the Nikkei has bounced from the 20,000 level, and I've sort of curtailed my trading, mostly because of family reasons, over the course of the last few weeks. But I feel like I've missed out on a rather accommodative entry position as it got back down towards that 20,000 level. Now it has some room in which to consolidate, but as long as that 20,000 level is holding, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Personally, I think the consistency of the trend that we've seen in the Nikkei is really quite different to anything we've seen since the early 1990s. The key characteristic that we saw on the Nikkei from the early 1990s was every time it got up to 20,000, it went down to a new low. And that stopped happening in 2015. It got up to 20,000 and it hit it made a higher reaction low for the first time in almost 20 years. And now it has broken up and out of this very long-term range, and we would normally anticipate that past support resistance should become future support. So, and that's what we've seen so far. So I think that's rather important from the perspective of the Japanese market, because it is certainly not expensive. And the second section was not quite able to hold all of its advance in here today, but it is continuing to firm from this 7,000 level. And as long as that is indeed the case, then I think people are going to be reasonably sanguine about it. Then the Indian market continues to bounce from this psychological 10,000 level, and it has broken the progression of lower rally highs. When we look at the H-share index in Hong Kong, then it continues to hold around this 12,000 area, but and it will likely be in positive territory tomorrow, considering the rebound that we've seen on Wall Street in here today. But what happens to 10 cent is probably going to be what is animating the vast majority of people's minds, because it is now right back in the region of the trend mean. It has broken its progression of higher reaction lows. It failed to hold that support around 400. Now that it has come back to the region of the trend mean, it needs a clear upward dynamic. It may well get it tomorrow, but investors will certainly be looking to see if it does in fact gather the or garner the wherewithal to get moving again. And because the dollar has been rather firm, gold prices have been pulling back. So they're coming back down towards the lower side of this evolving 4 month range. Considering that we now have a short-term oversold condition as we come back down towards the lower side of this range, now we're at a position where support is likely to be found. Certainly, if we saw an upward dynamic similar to what we saw back in the towards the end of March, that would help to confirm in no uncertain terms that demand is returning to dominance. But this is about where, if demand is going to be reasserted, then this is it. And when we look at the gold shares, they've been quite a bit firmer than the gold price. Of course, they hadn't rallied to nearly the same extent either. This is a particularly inert range for what is historically a very volatile sector. And we know that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. And I think that the most likely scenario is that this is going to be resolved on the upside. So we may have to wait a little while longer, but it does look like this is a recovery scenario. Then when we look at the oil price, it is pushing back up towards the $75 area. I think this is one of the more important trends around. It's when we look at the very long-term chart for oil prices, but most particularly if we look at it on a logarithmic scale and we look at lots and lots of history. Well, then we can see that oil tends to move in these long-term ranges, and those are resolved by big uptrends. And the last one of those lasted decades. Then we had the big advance from the lows in the late 1990s to the peak in 2008. And now we're in another lengthy, volatile ranging phase. Well, the price is currently around $75. This particular index is only updated once a month. But we're about halfway through this range. It's, I think, quite likely that this long-term range could be anywhere from $30 to $100. And so far, it has held the region of the trend mean and bounced from the $60 area. And I think as long as it is doing that, then I think people are going to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But it is a little bit overbought in the short term, so we may be in for some additional consolidation. But nonetheless, the uptick in oil prices, I think primarily driven by the declining supply from Venezuela and the uptick in geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, is, and then of course we have the global growth that is coming in on I think, on par with expectations, and that it is hard to put your hand or your hard to nominate a more than one or two economies in the world that are contracting. So that's all reasonably positive for the oil market. And that's being reflected in the commodities curve, where we still have a backwardation all the way out to 2023. So we are in a supply inelasticity environment for oil right now, and as long as it's not surging higher, then that's unlikely to be I think, a significant headwind for markets. Now, when we look at the commodity complex or the London Metals, the industrial metals complex, then it has been rather volatile over the last few days because of aluminium. But aluminium has begun to demonstrate that support is being found, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. It's unwound about half of its earlier advance, and it is now appearing to bounce from the region of the trend mean. But I think when we look at it over that longer term basis, the thing that really strikes me, at least, is that it's still comparatively depressed relative to where it was before. So the fact is that we are in a reasonably supply in inelastic environment, considering that so much additional supply was taken out of the market during that crushing downtrend from 2011 through to the beginning of 2016. And if we look at the Russian market, it's obviously being impacted by the industrial resources, but so far it is continuing to hold the progression of higher reaction lows. Of course, there are the issues of sanctions and governance, and that's why it has historically traded at a lower valuation. But as long as it's holding the progression of higher reaction lows, I think the benefit of the doubt can be given to higher to lateral ranging. And of course, that is, I think, an additional point about China. It is also likely to trade at a somewhat lower valuation because of the geopolitical risk it represents. The A-share index is right in the region of its lows. It was in mildly negative territory in here today, and it really does need to push back above the trend mean to begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment generally. So far, the renminbi is demonstrating that it isn't simply that the dollar is strengthening against currencies like the euro and the pound, but that I think there is a good argument for saying that the renminbi's rally has pretty much run its course, and that the most likely scenario is for some dollar dominance over the course of the next few months. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.